You're listening to the Script Lab Podcast. I'm Shani Edwards. Today I sit down with Robin Paris, writer-director of the award-winning web series, The Room Actors, Where Are They Now? Inspired by her experience as an actor in the cult favorite film, The Room. For anyone who's ever considered making a web series, Robin shares some crucial information, like how she crowdsourced the funding through Kickstarter, the creative ways she marketed the web series, and what opportunities have come to her as a result. And if you're a fan of the movie The Room, the film that inspired The Disaster Artist, she shares details of what working with Tommy Wiseau was really like. Take a listen. Hi, Robin Paris.
Hi, Shani Edwards.
So great to chat with you. I should tell my listeners that we actually met through UCLA Film School.
Yes.
And that's how I know you. But you have such an interesting story and this award-winning web series that I think is really worth talking about.
Thank you.
You produced it, you funded it through Kickstarter, and you have 8 episodes.
Yes.
It's called The Room Actors, Where Are They Now? And before we get into that, let's just talk a little bit about your background, because when you first came to LA, you were an actress. I mean, you're still an actress, but what was the movie you were in?
Okay, yes. So it is a very well-known movie at this point. It's called The Room, the Citizen Kane of bad movies. It inspired the Oscar-nominated movie The Disaster Artist with James Franco. And I played Michelle in The Room, so that's like the chocolate girl best friend character.
Okay, so what was that experience like working with Tommy Wiseau and all of that? Because we've heard so many crazy stories and seen the movie Disaster Artist.
Yeah, so I mean, if you've seen the movie The Disaster Artist or read the book, you have a really good idea of what Tommy is like. And working with him was exactly what you would imagine based on the book. And I mean, it was like 3 or 4 crews quit in the short time I was on set. I would think I was on set for like 3 weeks. You know, the chaos was pretty much always ensuing. Every day there was some issue, something going wrong that had to be dealt with. And so most of the actors, we just kind of sat in the under the little tent they set up for us and just waited for our 2 minutes to go on, do our scene, which usually we sat all day. And then at the end of the day, we'd finally go on and read our like 2-3 lines or whatever. And then, I mean, it was a lot of sitting as you do on set, but mostly chaos.
And I think I heard that you never got the full script.
Yes, Tommy thought we were going to steal the script if he gave it to us, which of course we all would have immediately done. I was planning to make it on my own if I'd only gotten a hold of the whole script. But so we never knew the context of the scenes. You know, we'd get like 3 pages and Tommy would say, okay, you're doing this scene tomorrow. And we'd have to go home and like learn it. But we'd never would know what came before, what after. And, you know, as you know, if you've worked on a set, you shoot things out of sequence. So, you know, you couldn't actually work on like a character development or like where your character goes, because you never, like, you'd shoot one scene, but you'd have no idea of the 5 other scenes that your character was going to do. And the scene you might be shooting first would be like the finale scene of the whole movie. So you like couldn't develop a character that would like build or change or anything, because you'd never read the script.
You were pretty green when you made the movie. Could you tell at the time that it wasn't a normal movie?
Yeah, I mean, it was just chaos. I mean, I was laughing nonstop on set. It was so funny to be a part of because nothing made sense. I mean, just really, really ridiculous lines that were almost unsayable. So, I mean, yeah, we all knew this wasn't normal. And for me, I thought, okay, well, I'll get something from my demo reel. I haven't been on a big set before. I'd done a mostly like really, really tiny indies in Chicago. And so I thought, okay, no one will ever see this. It's horrible. It'll just be in my history. No one will ever know about it. It's fine. I'll just get experience. And that's what it is. So yeah, we knew it was bad. I had my husband, he came on set one day and I said, you have to come see it. You have to see it because it's so crazy. And no one would believe how bad and crazy this is. And if anybody ever sees this movie, it will probably get a cult following because it's so crazy. That's what I said to my husband at the time. And he came on set the day we shot the party scene and he got to like watch that. And that was one of the funniest scenes, just the fight between Tommy and Greg over the Lisa character and all of us trying to keep straight faces while that was happening. We should all get Oscars for like keeping a straight face during that scene.
And then your prediction came true.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen the movie before I met you, but in the 90s, there was this giant billboard in Hollywood that I would see all the time, and that strange picture of Tommy Wiseau with one eye closed and said The Room, and I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and that actually came up, went up 2002, because The Room was shot in 2001.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Actually, it was shot in 2002, and then it came out in 2003. So, yeah, it was a long-ass time ago. It was a long time ago, but it wasn't that long.
Sorry, I'm aging you.
No,
I don't mean to. So then the movie The Disaster Artist came, which is a great film, great, well-acted. And who played you in the movie?
June Diane Raphael.
What was that like, having someone play you?
It was really crazy, and she was really great. I think she's really funny. I was a big fan of Burning Love, which is a web series she did. And then, you know, she's been on Grace and Frankie, and she's really funny. And my character only had a few lines. She didn't have a big role, but it was really strange. I met her sister one time, which was really funny, and now we're friends on Facebook. But I would love to meet her sometime. I mean, it's, you know, I've met her husband. I'm like, I've met all these people around her, but I haven't actually met her. But it was cool. It was fun. I'm glad she portrayed me. She was great.
And you got to meet James Franco.
Yes.
And how was that?
Wonderful. He was really great. I met him after a screening of The Disaster Artist. It was before all kind of the stuff went down, you know, around the time of the Oscar nomination. But he was really friendly, very gracious, really positive about me. I mean, you know, like, I mean, this is the worst movie ever made, so it's a little awkward, you know. And he was like, no, you were really good. There was, like, nothing to make fun of about you. That's why you're not in the movie all that much. And I was like, thanks. I was like, did anybody get this? Is anybody recording this? Because I want to put this on my website or something. I don't know. But it was really cool to meet him. And I met Dave Franco and who else did I meet? Oh, Alison Brie and a bunch of the actors, and they were all really gracious and really nice. It was fun.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So now that you're a writer and director, tell me about the origin of your web series, The Room Actors. Where are they now?
So yes, I had the idea for this back in 2014, and The Room is called The Citizen Kane of Bad Movies. So my idea was that I was going to spoof Citizen Kane and do like an alternate Citizen Kane with The Room actors. It's very meta, because Citizen Kane is basically a faux documentary, the movie is, so it was a mockumentary. So that was my original idea, and I saw like Juliet playing the Susan Alexander character from Citizen Kane in the red dress, hunched over a drink in a bar, and that was originally my inspiration, and I pitched it to The Room actors, and a bunch of them were really interested. And so then I was like, okay, well, if they're interested, I'm definitely going to do it. So I wrote it. And as I started to write it, I realized it was just way too hard to kind of keep that parallel going throughout the entire thing. So I used that as like a launching pad. And then I just created basically alternate realities for every Room actor, like what their lives are like now. But it was all fictionalized and all exaggerated and made really stupid and funny. The premise is that the Room actors can't escape being in the room, that everywhere they go, people recognize them. They just can't escape their lines, escape being known as like a foil to Tommy Wiseau. And like, so that was where it came from. And then I just kept writing and writing, and I wrote 8 episodes. Actually, I have 10 episodes. I've shot 8 of them. And then I raised the money on Kickstarter to shoot the first 3 and shot those back in 2015 and was done with them in 2016. And did the festival run after that. And then I just shot my last 4 episodes last year and released them this year.
Tell me a little bit about raising the money on Kickstarter, because a lot of us have ideas that we would love to do that. You were able to tap into fans of The Room, correct?
Yes. And it was lucky, because I had started working on this idea before I knew that James Franco was optioning the Disaster Artist book. So when I launched my Kickstarter campaign, and I had already shot the video and I already had the scripts, was when he made the announcement that he was optioning the Disaster Artist, which raised its profile like big time, The Room's profile, all of that. So the timing was serendipitous. And when I launched my Kickstarter, sort of like the perfect storm and a perfect timing. So I was able to you know, use that, leverage that to get donations and raise money to shoot this. It was scary, though, because as a writer, my background is as a writer and actor, I'd been like hiding in the wings. And when you do a Kickstarter, especially with something like people know about the room, you're putting yourself out there. And a lot of the early press was like, oh, the room actors, they think they're going to be good in something. Puh. Yeah, right. They all suck ass. You know? You know, like, that's what I felt like most of the angle was a little bit on a lot of the press, which was the whole reason in the way I was doing this, is that I wanted to show that we are good and under the right conditions, we can be do something really funny and amazing and great. And we were sort of just caught up in the whole room stuff with Tommy Wiseau. And I didn't want our names to be forever associated with crap. So that's part of the reason I did this. And yeah, but it was great timing with the Kickstarter.
And how much money did you raise ultimately?
I originally raised $31,500. And then I did a second Kickstarter last year and raised $14,500. So overall, it's like $46,000.
And you shot 8 episodes. And how long are the episodes about?
Yeah, so they're each about 7 to 8 minutes. So overall, it's about 61 minutes put together. So basically a full, you know, hour-long pilot length for $46,000, which is pretty good. It's still a tight budget. We had a ton of locations.
Now, when you gave people associate producer credit, does that go on IMDb?
Yes.
So people are actually getting IMDb credits, because that's a definite motivation, I think, for some people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When I shot these last 4, I had people come in from, somebody come in from Hong Kong, and I had somebody come in from Germany. My 2 co-producers who gave me a chunk of money came in from abroad. And that's the good thing about Kickstarter versus maybe a Seed and Spark or something. It has an international attraction. People see it from all over the world, and they didn't even know that my project existed. Even though I already shot 4 episodes, until they saw my last Kickstarter campaign last year. And that's where they backed it and donated.
How did you get the word out about the campaign?
I sent a blast email to 90 people, 90 press, all of whom had done a story about The Room in the past, back in 2015 when I did my campaign, or 2014. So the second I launched it, like an hour later, I blasted out to 80 different press outlets an announcement. And the first one to pick it up was this guy named Clark Hollis at Entertainment Weekly. And he had interviewed me before, and we're friends on Facebook. And he saw my Facebook post about it. He picked it up and did a story in Entertainment Weekly, like immediately within an hour, it was up, or, you know, a couple hours, it was up on their online platform. And then when he did it, other people jump on board and they did it. And like HuffPo did one, and AV Club and Vulture and She Knows. And, you know, a lot of people gave us press for that, especially that initial launch. Last year when I did it, I didn't get nearly as much press because it was basically old news. So that's probably why I wasn't able to raise as much money, because just having people know your campaign exists is a big chunk of the issue.
Now, did you reach out to Tommy Wiseau to see if he would be in your web series?
Well, originally when I did the Kickstarter, he reached out to me because he wasn't happy. And then I said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I really want you involved. But the truth is, I didn't think he ever would want to be involved. But when he reached out to me, I invited him. And I said, we'd love to have you. And he was like, only if you pay me $250,000.
For a web series.
Yes, which, as you know, is preposterous. So, yes, that didn't happen. And then he did a couple drive-bys of our set when we shot the first 3 episodes. He was spotted in his car coming by my house. I guess he, like, Googled me and found out where I lived and, like, drove past my house. It's a little weird.
Do you know if he's seen the web series?
I assume he has, but he hasn't, like, complained or anything, which is good. We don't really talk about him at all. We really talk about The Room actors and make it about what we're doing now. And it's like, I'm Robin. What am I doing now? So I'm playing myself. I'm not playing Michelle. There are a couple Michelle lines, like, integrated into the storyline. That's part of the joke. But we don't make it about Tommy. So, you know, I don't think he has anything to complain about.
So how did you know that you could produce and direct this web series? Like, it's a lot.
I didn't know at all. I was scared to death, but I did it. I mean, I think I've been a writer for a long time, and then I was an actor before that. So a lot of people listening out there probably have a background in entertainment in some way, shape, or form. If you've been on a set, if you have an instinct, if you're a writer, you know in your mind what you want to see when you're writing. You write a line and you imagine the actor saying a line in a certain way, or like giving So I guess I just pulled from that, although I didn't know I could do it. I got a great DP and some great people helping me. A lot of people I met through UCLA, you were there helping, and, you know, a lot of other amazing people were the producers. Our writing group became the producers. And then we got an amazing female DP, John Tyson. I got a good team together and depended on everyone to help. And I did whatever I could, just going on instinct. And I had a background in improv, so I was able to get improv actors to do it. And having that background in improv was really helpful. And just being able to work with actors and having been an actor, if you've been an actor, you like actors, you know? So I didn't know anything about like camera placement and where to, you know, position cameras and how to, and I knew nothing technical about lenses. I still really don't. I know a lot about, now I know more about, you know, camera placement and how to get coverage and what to cover. But at the time I didn't. And so luckily Jean, the DP, we sat together and we went over. She's like, what do you want to see? And I was like, well, I want it to look like this. And she was like, okay, then we need to position the camera like this and do this coverage. And that was really great. And if you are a first-time director, I suggest, you know, you get an amazing DP and producers who can help.
What do you think the biggest challenge was?
The logistics of all the people and doing it on a tight budget. It was just always, we felt like we were asking for favors and praying that, there were a few times we didn't get permits, praying we didn't get busted, you know, that people didn't notice that we were there. So trying to keep everyone organized, trying to keep everyone happy, organizing all the actors. Some people flew in. We had Kickstarter backers fly in from all over the country, world. A couple flew in from international places. So that was the logistics. But I don't know. I guess for me internally, it was a constant state of fear that I was going to totally suck and this project would completely suck. So that for me was just dealing with that, but I tried not to show, you know, they say fake it till you make it. I tried not to show that I felt like that.
So that must have felt really good when you won awards, right? Tell us what awards you won.
So I won Best Director of a Pilot at Chicago Comedy Film Festival. That was great. And then Best Ensemble Cast at Hollyweb, Best Web Series at LA Independent Web Series. Or LA Independent Film Festival, sorry. And then we were nominated for 3 Indie Series Awards, and we were nominated for a lot of other awards, but we got to play at some really great festivals like Rain Dance and ITV Fest and Vancouver Web Fest. And so that was, and you know, it was just really, really a great experience to meet all these people and network, and just, I'd never been to film festivals before.
So you shoot the web series, then what? What platform did you use?
So I tried to reach out to every possible platform. And this was a few years ago when there were more of them, like CISO was out there, which was the NBC platform. Super Deluxe was still there. They're both defunct now. You know, Funny or Die. And I actually met the Funny or Die guys at Hollyweb. And I talked to them and they showed them my show and they wanted to launch it for me. So basically we launched it through Funny or Die. And I sat on it. It was done way before I launched it. I sat on it until The Disaster Artist was released and then released it simultaneously on Funny or Die. So they basically promoted it for me, and I was in their Rev partnership program with them where we shared revenue. You know, that was a very short-lived program. They were purchased by Vox last year, VOX Vox. And so they have totally changed their model since then. And now they don't do that with people really anymore. If you go to their site, all their stuff's been migrated to YouTube. Things have changed a lot in the past 4 or 5 years for online platforms. Now, I could give you the names of the ones that are remaining, but so many have gone under trying to be profitable for short-form content, and it just hasn't been sustainable for a lot of places.
So if people want to see the web series, where can they see it?
They can see it on Amazon. The first 4 episodes are still on Amazon, and I'm going to upload the newest 4 episodes soon. But you can also see it on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Robin O. Paris. And you can watch all 8 episodes, plus behind-the-scenes interviews with all of the room actors, Q&As with us, all kinds of extra, like, you know, supporting videos and things.
So you spent a lot of time and a lot of money making this web series. Was it worth it?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot. It's opened doors for me. I joined the Alliance of Women Directors, and that's opened a lot of doors for me. This summer, I've been able to go to a bunch of directing seminars at NBC for women and people of color. So I've been included in some of those, which is I've met people there. I just went to a speed dating event at the WGA as a director. It's funny because I've been a writer for way longer than I've been director, but as a director, and I got basically attached to a couple projects from that speed dating event. So I'm attached to a few writers' projects, and I'm looking for other opportunities. I'm totally open to directing projects from other people, and now having done the 8 episodes, I feel way more confident. I know what I'm doing now. You know, it's a different experience than when I first did it. And I love it. I mean, I love working with a crew and a cast and being on set with people and the collaboration. So I think it's really, really been great. And it's opened a lot of doors.
Do you feel like you could easily transition to television now after doing those 8 episodes?
Yeah, I mean, way more easily than had I not done it. I mean, yeah, I know now what coverage to get, what it's just, I've learned, even with the second 4 episodes versus the first 4, just me knowing what I need to get and being more efficient with it was way improved. So yeah, I'd love to do network television. I think comedy is a very unique type of thing. I mean, it's just all about timing, when to cut, when to hold, and that a lot of that's the edit also, and just sitting with the editor and figuring out how to best edit it. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to do comedy television.
What advice do you have for somebody who says, gosh, I have this great idea for a web series? What do you recommend they do?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think write it first, get some feedback from friends as you do for your other scripts. And just know that the short form market is different now. It is worth it to do a web series just so you can have something under your belt to show people. Because now there are opportunities to go in and pitch short form shows to Facebook or, you know, some of the other platforms, YouTube Red. And if you have something to show that you've done before, you can say, hey, I've done this. Look what I made. Isn't it funny? Isn't it great? It went to some festivals and won some awards. And they're going to take you more seriously when you go into pitch versus if you've never done a web series, it's going to be a lot harder. So I do think it's worth it. People love to watch even more than they like to read. So if you have something physical to show people, you're more likely to get, you know, someone to pay attention to you.
So in full disclosure, you and I are working on a screenplay,
yes.
An R-rated female-driven comedy called White Zinfandel. Why don't we share the logline? When 4 downtrodden women in their 40s drink a skunked bottle of White Zinfandel, they're transported back in time to their senior year of high school, where they try to improve the outcome of their lives.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. So it's Hot Tub Time Machine meets Girls Trip, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So we currently have a draft of the script, and we are going to be taking it out. So very excited.
I have never worked with a partner before, and it's been amazing. I don't know what you think, but
you'd recommend working with a partner?
I do. I feel like you get there twice as fast, 2 brains working together. You get to a good draft twice as fast, and it's twice as funny earlier in the process. That's my takeaway from it.
Yeah, and it's fun, especially writing comedy, because, you know, just to sit and try and make each other laugh, you know.
Yeah.
That's because usually you think of writing screenplays as being so solitary and just, you know, you a lot of times dread sitting down because you know it's going to be hours and it's going to be weeks or months before that screenplay is finished. But like you said, this came pretty quickly considering we're both very busy in the rest of our lives.
Yeah, we'd meet like once a week and work on it for a couple hours and it came together. I mean, in terms of the writing process, it was a couple months maybe. I mean, we outlined first as you do, and then just you came up with jokes that I never would have thought of, and then, you know, I think I came up with a few things here and there too, and like I think just the 2 brains together like really amplified the process, made it better.
Great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I hope everybody will go and watch your web series, The Room Actors, Where Are They Now?
Yes. You can also see it on our website at www.theroommockumentary.com and learn more about the actors. And it has like Mindy Sterling in it from Austin Powers. It has Keith Powell from 30 Rock. It has like Patrika Darbo. She's won an Emmy. It's got Richard Tyson. He's been in a Kindergarten Cop and 3 o'clock High. And it's got a lot of recognizable comedians. Craig Kukowski, he's in Drunk History and like Wine Country and a lot of other movies and stuff. So
great. All right. Take care, Robin.
Thank you so much, Shaney, for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.